Uncensored Radio Real Talk Roundtable. Real life, real laughs, real talk.
Hello out there in UCR land and welcome back to the Real Talk Roundtable. It's been a little while since we've pulled up our chairs and, you know, shared our points of view, but it's about that time. It's silly season, so we thought we'll get a pre-silly season vent out for everything because I don't know if you've read in the news, seen the news, heard the news, that there seems to be a little bit of a outbreak of a virus again in Japan. Respiratory kind of feelings. This time it's kids, so
I thought it was in dogs.
They're reporting children, so we're getting another strain of something coming to ruin our lives. And I thought what's been in the news lately is a lot about the pandemic pause. So for those of you that aren't familiar with the concept, pandemic pause is basically the idea that over the years of our pandemic lockdown and life subsequently, that people and individuals and, you know, establishments have missed out on major life goals and like major moments, and it's affected their development, stunted our interactions, etc., etc. And I've seen a fair few things in the last couple of weeks that made me go and have given me a little bit of pause about it. So I thought I would gather some folk around the round table, and we all had a very different experience of COVID. So I thought that we would talk about that first. So Jeff, you just up and left. That was your solution, right?
Well, I didn't until August, right? My aunt bought a second house and she was like, come down. And I was like, oh God, you know, because I was the dude that like wouldn't let anybody in, lock the doors, and, you know, was Lysol wiping the food down before it came in the house. Was nuts. And made it down there and just didn't come back for a while and then stayed because it was like being in our own little universe. So it was fun. And so I didn't really get to experience it like everybody else did. So now I'm back in the real world and back to owning businesses. So I'm like, oh, no. We won't be doing that again. There will be no more pandemics.
No, not allowed.
One was enough. One's enough in this lifetime. No, you have to wait till I'm dead. Then you can have another one.
You've been triggered.
The first one actually ended.
It's supposed to be every 100 years, isn't it? Like once in every couple of generations, but whatever. But as you said, you took the boys and went and had an alternate lifestyle, I guess you would say,
vacation.
Yeah, they're already getting homeschooled at the point, and we know that Fox News had a lot to say about it for you. For those of you that haven't seen Jeffrey on Fox News,
and that other moron on Newsmax who like didn't get my name right and none of the he was an idiot.
Go back and look about it when Jeff was Insta famous for a couple of seconds. Yeah, that was great. But
I had to see this.
Yeah, it was an interesting time because you decided to get up and get out, and you had the option to do so. So they kind of got an extracurricular learning, I guess, out in the wilderness, right? They were chopping wood, they were digging rocks, they were doing all that kind of stuff, from what I remember.
Yeah, I think it was the best thing, you know, and over that, because when we left, Aiden was in fourth grade, and at the time, he couldn't read, and he couldn't really do basic math, you know, he was getting transferred into a special needs class, and it was very frustrating. I wanted him to be held back, and they're like, well, we don't really do that anymore. I'm like, the kid can't read, and he's going into fourth grade, you know what I mean? Like, this is a problem to me. Like, this is not okay. He's got a one-on-one aid, and she's clearly just doing the work for him because he's coming home, and he's got one page of homework, and we're sitting there from 3 to 7 o'clock at night trying to get the one page done. There's a lot of tears, a lot of yelling. Like, it's not good. Like, this, something's horribly wrong here. And then over the 1 year of remote learning, well, all of a sudden, guess what he picked up? Reading and basic math.
Yeah.
Here we are. So now we're still doing it. And guess what? Nobody gets really sick anymore until we go around people. So it's I definitely, you know, I watch all my friends and their kids are sick at least once a month. I'm like, you know what? You guys can keep that. I'm good.
We'll stay at home. It's all good. Now, the lovely Anne, you were running businesses during COVID and planning international tours and all that kind of thing. It really knocked you guys around, didn't it?
Yeah, we had our first international speaking gig that was going to be coming up. We actually had two conferences we were going to be speaking at in America that year. And our first big international trip for our frightfully good fans that were going to come with us. And it all went to pieces and we were devastated. But in actual fact, we, instead of sitting there whinging and complaining about how horrible it all is and the business has gone to shit and I can't hit the goals I want to, we pivoted. We changed what we were doing. We doubled down on the internet. We grew our audience and we learnt a lot. There was a lot of stuff that we used to go, oh, I can't do that, too hard. But because we were in the situation that we couldn't go out and be public anymore, we learnt the skills we needed to, and I think it actually helped grow our business. Not that I want to go through all of that again to grow a business, but you roll with it. Don't whinge about it. If it's not going to work that way anymore, then you've got to learn the new way to do it.
Well, you did the same thing that everyone else did. You started a podcast.
You actually started the podcast. Oh, hang on. It's been going for... I don't know, yeah, 3 years now?
Because we were the same.
Yeah,
we were going
before everybody else.
No, but we got real strong numbers during the pandemic because everyone's stuck at home. So it's like win for us.
We started the True Hauntings podcast, and that has now, we're up to 140 episodes and it has over 600,000 downloads. So it's not doing too bad.
Yeah, because people were desperate for content. They were tuning into anything and everything that could, escape the day-to-day life, and that worked out really well for us. We kind of gave us a big boost and we were able to, keep moving along. But the diversifying of, plans is a huge thing that I think everyone learned from having to do it on the fly, because you either adapt or die, right? It's just thanks. Yeah.
And the other places that were doing well were the people that sell courses, because everyone was wanting to learn something new. I bought so many courses. I got diplomas in bits and pieces from the Center of Excellence, but I got them. I studied.
You are excellent. We all know that.
I know, right?
You don't need a certificate. Now, Christina, you had a pretty unique pandemic, right? Because you've got a COVID baby.
I have a COVID baby. I have two COVID babies.
So that's actually talk about that, because that must have been a scary time.
It was. So my daughter was born in July? Yeah, July of 19. And then, so she was only 6 months old when the pandemic started. I went back to work, and a month later, we were pulled out and told to work from home. So I was able to, be with her when she grew up. My husband got laid off. It was just, he was on unemployment because there was no jobs because he's a plumber. And then it was just okay, well, we're all home. I sat at my dining room table and worked, and then I got pregnant again. And then I had another kid.
Because you had nothing to do during COVID.
It was different. And I know that my son is definitely hurting from it more than my daughter was, because I feel like since my husband was home, I was home, we were on top of her to learn things and sit down with her and show her things. But with my son, I'm home and I'm working from home, but I'm working from home. My husband's now working. We didn't have that time to sit down when he was in his prime time of learning to teach him letters and talking and sounding out things. He's two, he's not really talking. So it's scary. It's oh, is it him? Is it us? It's scary. And it's no, he's a pandemic baby. Like, yeah. He's going to learn a little slower.
It feels like the world kind of rushed back to regular. Like, we got tired in the all clear. It was like, oh, everything's fine. We'll go back to living the way things are. It's fine.
People are expecting you to go back to normal. It's not.
Yeah, exactly. I feel like only now, the dying days of November in 2023, things feel like they used to feel like, but then there's the threat, the ever-living threat that, you know, a bad sneeze away and we're all
locked back down. It's not for us with the tours because people are still nervous to book for the ghost tours or the experiences because they're all worried it's going to get cancelled or they get sick, they won't get their money back. So people aren't booking until the very last minute. And then we're going, can we afford to run this tour because we don't have enough bookings? And do we take the risk of waiting till that last minute when people actually book? What do you do?
Yeah, you're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't. And that's a very good segue in, Vera, because you, my friend, were there. You were the frontline girl.
Fucking thing.
You were frontline girl, weren't you?
You can't nurse remotely.
So talk about that. Talk about what it was like, because you, the nurses usually get the feeling of for things before they happen, and you're like, something bad's coming.
You knew it was coming. For me, it started in 2019. I get, confused sometimes hearing people say 2020 because, we started hearing about this virus in 2019. We started realizing that we were running out of PPE in 2019. And it's like, even before that March date that New York State shut down, I was like, should we do this? Should we do that? Should we go out to dinner? Maybe we shouldn't do this. And I went to work every single day. Is this the day I'm going to come home with this and get my family sick? Is this the day I'm going to kill my mother with her heart problem or my sister with her diabetes? Is this the day somebody's going to die because I had to go to work and got COVID? It was a really stressful time for me. And everybody was staying home. The whole world was staying home except me, I was the only one who had to shovel the driveway. The whole street was snowed in all that winter, and I'm shoveling the driveway to go to work all by myself.
God bless. God bless. That's why the emergency services workers and the essential employees deserved all the clappings and whatever they did. You guys deserved everything.
That clapping didn't stop. Quick enough.
Oh, we're all better.
Goodbye.
I know, yep. Now everyone's back to yelling. Now everyone's back to yelling because...
Yeah, clapping don't pay the bills.
No, it doesn't. No. It does not. It does not.
Yeah, but thank you for your service.
Now give me my medication. But I think it's really highlighted a few things, especially for me, because I worked in retail during that time, and the first lockdown in Australia... we were deemed essential services. So the only things that were open in the shopping centre were Coles and Woolworths, which are the food shops for the Americans, and my store, which is now out of business, that sold CDs and DVDs and stuff like that, and games. So we were essential services for the first, for this whole first pandemic. Before that, we came out, and then we went back in, and then we came out, we were like the groundhog, we'd stick our nose out and see if it's pandemic fresh or not. But it was very interesting just to see the way that people, how quickly society can change and degrade to, I want mine, you can go get fucked, because all I have to say to you is two words, toilet paper. Toilet paper, because I got to see it. Front line, because there was one shop we could see from the store. There's one around the corner, and you could tell when the toilet paper drop came because there were people running, full force running. They wouldn't even take the pallets into the store. They would put the pallets out the front, cut them open with box cutters and hand them out. And that's what people were like, of all the things to worry about during a pandemic, toilet paper is what brought civilization undone. It was very funny to watch. Does anyone have a toilet paper story? I'm sure there's got to be one.
I do.
Vera, go.
Well, you know, I was working. I wasn't running to the store, stocking up on milk, stocking up on paper towels. I get home, a random Tuesday, I've got no toilet paper. There's none at Wegmans. There's none at Walmart. There's none at Costco. Fucking toilet paper. I ended up buying toilet paper off Amazon. I paid $36 for what was supposed to be 8 rolls of toilet paper, but ended up being 4.
What? And
it was supposed to be environmentally friendly. That's code for disintegrates when wet.
Oh, no.
Oh, Vera. The one thing I want to know, I wonder if you could find out. I want to know what the percentage of bidet sales were.
I got a bidet. It went up.
You couldn't. I had a bidet before that.
Yeah.
That was one of my posts. I couldn't understand what fucking people were. I'm like, just go buy a bidet. What are you losing your? Here's the thing. I couldn't really say shit because I'm a nutty person, right? Where I have some OCD problems, and Amazon Subscribe and Save and I are best friends. So I like to keep 97 rolls of toilet paper in the house at all times, anyways. So I was prepared for this. And, you know, between toilet paper and paper towels, like, there's paper. My aunt was losing it. You know what I mean? In a 900-square-foot house in Missouri, there was paper towels and toilet paper shoved in everything. She's like, I don't ever have to worry. You know, when I left, she's like, I just want to let you know I kept some.
Stop.
I was like, it's fine, because when I came back here, like, I still have stashes all over the house here. You know what I mean? Like, I have not bought toilet paper and paper towels since I've come back to New York in February, and I still have packages.
That's great.
Well,
that's
great. If hell breaks loose, I'm coming to your house.
Yeah.
I'll be
like,
right.
You know, I do have to say that, like, the first time I remember being in the grocery store, the first time that, like, the pandemic started, and it was like, should you wear a mask? Should you not wear a mask? Should you wipe everything down? Should you wear gloves? It was like, you know, and I was like, I'm just going to go grab a couple of things. And I'm standing in line, and, like, I'm seeing people who have gloves and masks on. And I'm like, why didn't I wear a mask? And I had a sweatshirt on, and I was walking around the store like this.
Like a child.
And I went to the, like, cleaning aisle, and I bought rubber gloves, like, you know, like what your mother would wear when she's washing dishes.
Were they pink?
They were yellow. And I shoved, like, you know, I shoved the whole sleeve because, you know, it goes up to your elbow. I shoved it down, like, my sleeve. And I was walking around the grocery store like that, and I was terrified. And it's just, but I mean, like, at one point we didn't have toilet paper, but my mom did. Like, you know, it was just like, she stocked up just like Jeff does. And now I stock up. Like, you know, I buy as much toilet paper as I possibly can. Even if I'm running low, I buy another big thing from Costco. And if I'm running out, another thing. Like, you know, I'm never out of toilet paper. I will never be out of toilet paper.
I think it didn't even have anything to do with being in a pandemic, right? But I think from being poor when I first moved out on my own, I moved out when I was 17, you know, I have this innate fear of not having things, or I've had friends that have no money or whatever. So, like, right, my chest freezer was always chuck full of, you know what I mean? So I'm prepared, right? So if something happens and money gets tight, like, I know, like, there's food in the house, there's things, you know?
I use Kirkland toilet paper, but I bought Scott. So, like, I think I have like a 16 pack of Scott in the basement that's just sitting there.
Isn't that like the loose leaf paper one? It's like,
yeah, it's like the really thin, like the one ply almost. Like, it was like a just in case. Like,
I subscribed. I subscribe to Who Gives a Crap, and I get it delivered.
Yeah.
To the paper one?
No, she gets very fancy toilet paper. She gets very, colorfully wrapped, fancy.
The Kirkland toilet paper is really good.
Has anybody tried the I think it's, like, made out of bamboo, and it's supposed to last, like, a year or something?
Ooh. Yeah.
Bamboo toilet paper?
it comes like wrapped in like really fancy, pretty things, and it's super expensive. And I think it's
I
got paper towels at Aldi's for like 50 cents a roll.
Like, I can't even think about people who rewash diapers. You know, like, yeah, it's just it's one of those things.
Ooh, that's all nice.
It was just disposable paper towels. You just threw it out. It wasn't anything that you would reuse.
No, I don't
Well, people were doing that. Remember seeing on, like, we'll see the rise of TikTok over the pandemic as well.
Yeah.
You remember seeing people reuse their paper towel? Like, literally hang out their paper towel to dry so they could use it again. Yeah.
Well, and I didn't even understand that either, right? Like, I've got so many, like, Norwex cloths, right? Like, I try not to use the paper towels. Like, they're for...
She's red. What the fuck?
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, I'm not going to, talk out of school, because I do house sit at Anne's house. There are some people that bought up on water. You want to tell the folks about Roman's adventures?
How many cases of water do you have?
Well, no, it's not that he used to use water for his CPAP machine. He had to get special water. And what he's done is he's used all the bladders. He's filled them up with water and he's stored them all on top of our kitchen cupboard. So there's probably about 30 of these big bladders full of water. I'm waiting for the whole cupboard system to fall down, but he started that well before COVID. That was well before COVID. He's another.
That's good. I love it. One of the first things that when she goes, don't mind the water, it's Romans. I'm like, okay. Good to know. But we all hoarded our own things, right? It's okay. All right. But I want to talk about some of the upsides, because when I actually did go into lockdown, the thing that I had was time, and I never have time. My time is so, like, well spent everywhere, but when we were here, we had the show to do, which was great. Twice a week, we were doing lives twice a week back then and pre-recording, and we were very busy, but other than that, I taught some dance classes online, like nowhere near the amount I actually did teach. No work. So I actually had time to go out and exercise and sleep and, you know, clean and do all this stuff that I never have time to do. And by the end of the pandemic, I was like, we have to come out of lockdown. I'm like, going for two walks a day. I'm like, what is this about? Like, who am I? Like, getting up early to go for a walk before as the sun comes up, then going for one in the afternoon. I'm like, what is my life? Yeah. I'm just like, yeah. But I must admit, my sleep pattern did go to buggery though, because it's already gone to buggery. But even worse, because there was nothing to get up for. So he's like, I'll sleep when I want. But that was my upside. I actually had time because I was doing boot camp back in the, and, you know, the boot camp got shut down and everything. So I was like, oh, well, I'll just keep going. And I lost weight during the pandemic. Who knew? Like, because there was actually time to stop and look after yourself as opposed to, you know, doing the outside stuff. Yeah. For me, anyway.
I didn't get to bake sourdough bread. I didn't get to French. I went to fucking work every fucking day.
I know. We know, Vera.
I didn't go into work, but I was working the entire fucking time, and I did not take care of myself. I did not go for fucking walks. What we did do was we drew on the wall in the garage, and we played yo-yo, and we did TikToks, and we perfected our yo-yo tricks. I mean, that's like the one thing I definitely remember from the pandemic is we would put the kid down for bed, go outside, smoke a little bit, and play with the yo-yo. Like, it was just like, oh, let's learn new tricks. Let's do this. And then we would do stuff, like draw stuff on the wall. It was just like a thing that to do. And then it was like, oh, right, well, now I'm going to start making TikToks. Okay, well, now I'm going to start going live on TikTok. Now I'm going to meet Jeffrey. Like, it was just like,
yes,
you know, all these little things.
I feel like
it changed. You're the one good thing that came out of it. You know?
I think it changed the world. I mean,
definitely.
I don't see when I've gone out, it's not the same anymore. Like, it is totally different. Like, the crowds are different. The places are different. It's just not the same, which is interesting to me, you know? It's people just, that was such a long period of time that everybody just kind of evolved with it, you know? And I think being trapped inside for so long and being away from people, you really just learned you don't like people.
Yes.
You know, like you got your tribe of people, and that's okay, right? We like our tribe, and then the rest of the people, it's like, oh no.
Do you know how nice it was to, like, I mean, again, I'm in an office. Yeah, you don't deal with the drama. Right. Like, do you know how much, like, nice it was to just show up, do your job, and just move the fuck on? Like, to not hear the little gossip that was going on between, like, who's hooking up, who's not hooking up, who's doing this, who got fired, who did that. You know, nobody knew I was pregnant. When I came back to work in the office, they're like, oh, how's your baby girl? I was like, you know what, now I have two. Like, they're like, what? Like, again, I had a secret baby. Like, it was just, like, one of those things. It's just... I mean, it's been so pregnant nice.
For a long time. It's
like, yeah, my God, right? Like, fuck. But no, it was just, but you know, it was just so nice to not have to deal with that for so long. And now, like, I'm back in it. And it's just like, ah, fuck. Like, they just let me work from home 5 days a week. Like, I don't want to deal.
The remote working thing, and people are like, I love it. Because the companies are like trying to get people to go back to work, and people are like, fuck you.
Yeah, I'd rather sit in my pajamas.
They've seen people have seen the light of day that some things aren't necessary, and that's a good and a bad thing. Like, it definitely killed a lot of retail stores, a lot of restaurants, a lot of stuff like that. We used to have Thursday night, late night shopping here in Australia. That is dead now. That does not exist. Like, it used to be a bit, like, people used to be like out and about Thursday nights till like 9:30, 10 o'clock at night shopping, and now it's just like quiet stores as a tumbleweed rolls past.
That's the same thing here. Like, there's no, you used to be able to, you know, you could get pizza till 3 a.m.
grocery stores.
Yeah, and you can't get anything late night anymore. Oh, people constantly bitch, right?
Yeah.
So I got the sub shop open later. People don't, nobody comes, nobody's out, but they all bitch.
Yeah. Because
there's a pizza place that's still open till 2 a.m. over by me.
7 o'clock showing is it.
Yeah.
Really? Oh, we've still got late movies. Thank God we're still got late movies. I wouldn't know what to do with myself.
No.
Oh, 9:30 session. Wouldn't know what to do with myself without it. Oh, God.
Before the pandemic, every single store was open till 9 every single day.
Yeah.
Some stores were open 24 hours.
Yeah.
That's a 24-hour store in our area.
I think all of our grocery stores were open 24 hours before.
Yeah.
All of them.
When you think about it, that's people's jobs, you know? That's people's jobs taken away because we got comfortable being at home and also getting stuff when we want it from
outside. And now it's click and play.
Yeah.
Right. Well, and everybody learned to shop online even more.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And the patience level of people has gone from 0 to -5. Like, we've just been through Black Friday. been through the Black Friday sales, and like people come in and go, I saw this online, I want it. I'm like, well, we don't have it. When can you get it? 3 to 7 days. What do you mean 3 to 7 days? I'm like, that's how long it takes to ship from the warehouse.
Yeah.
That's how long it would take you to ship from a warehouse to order it from home. It's not, we don't have this secret portal that we can just pull shit out of and go.
You don't have a teleporter?
You want it? Oh, yeah, you want it. Okay, that makes it different. I'll go get it.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah, Andy and I were just talking about this kind of, you know, too, with how everything changed, where now I don't even want to call somebody on the phone to order something. Yes. If they don't have a website, guess what? You don't get my business. So I'm going to order pizza from the place that I can order it online.
Yes.
So we're like,
yeah, I'm doing the same thing.
I'm like,
or they have a phone number, but they don't want you to call it. They say, you call the phone number, and they'll say, please use the portal.
Please use the app.
I'm like, we need to get online ordering. Like, we need to have that set up. I'm like, because I know at least most of the people I know, nobody wants to call anywhere. Like, we want to be able to go do everything online. We want it dropped off at our door. We don't want to talk to the driver. We don't want to deal with people at all. We've done it all day long. We're fucking exhausted now.
Well, at people. Chipotle on Grand Avenue, if you haven't ordered it on the app, don't go through the drive-thru.
Oh, they because it's not a drive-thru. It's just a pickup window.
Yeah.
It's a
pickup window.
They won't serve at the drive-thru.
We have that here. I thought that was really interesting because they built this drive-thru only KFC here in Australia. So it's not you can't go into there's no restaurant. It's just like little booths. And one of them is pickup only. It's not like, this is your pickup only. Wow. This is your order. This is your other one. It's like, oh, okay. Okay, interesting.
I
figured that out one night.
Yeah.
They've
got bags where you pull over and you order it, and then you go into the line to pick it up.
Yeah, and it lights up which one you should go into and stuff like that. So it's like automated human services. It's like, please proceed to the next level. It's like, okay, I will. I figured that out one night after doing the radio show, actually. I'm like, I'm hungry. What can I eat? KFC. There we go. Healthy habits. But everyone was cooking and whatnot. Everyone was cooking and whatnot during the pandemic. So whatever. So there's no time for that anymore. There's no time for
I just one of the people I had over for Thanksgiving, they're like, I've never seen somebody with so many vinegars and oils in my life. I'm like, bitch. I'm like, well, there's a whole shelf, right? Like, the one whole shelf in my pantry is literally just different types of olive oils.
It's true, folks.
I'm like, well,
you wouldn't let me leave without two olive oils.
I had to cook
basting oil
meals a day. You know, like you learn to cook different things, and you need different shit for different things.
Yeah, the amount of people that cooked a risotto for the first time.
Oh yeah,
and I think they would have cooked it once from scratch. You like, you only do that once. You're like, fuck this stirring.
We tried a bunch of stuff. Like, one time it was just like, all right, let's just empty out the fridge and see what comes up with it. Like, and I think I had like, fuck, what was it? It was like tater tots and bacon and cheese. And it was just turned into like this breakfast thing, that like breakfast skillet that I made up. And it's just, it was like one of the best things I think I've ever made. And have I ever made it again? No.
No.
But it was delicious. You know, like, again, we just try different things.
Exactly, yeah. As Vera said, everyone their dog made bread, I'm pretty sure. I saw so many breads. I saw so many breads. I'm like, no, bitch. I have time, but I don't have that much time. I'd rather sleep. Like,
the people
I'd rather
with
sleep.
The fucking sourdough bread, just I wanted to punch him in the face. When
if I have to culture a yeast, I'm not doing it.
You know what? Sorry, I don't want to make it like morbid, but even like funerals. We're really weird.
That's where I'm about to go. That's exactly
Is it on here? I don't even know, because my cousin just asked me and they said, oh, you taped your uncle's. Jeffrey has it. And I'm like, oh, that's right. We did his funeral on this, on our
on the Zoom.
Because we could only have X amount of family members, right? And our family was trapped in Florida. They couldn't get up here. Yeah. And he died right in April, right in the beginning of it. So I streamed it through this thing, through Uncensored Radio, privately. I'm like, oh my God, it's so morbid. Like, I had to put a camera on the casket so they could see him. And then they're like,
can
you hold it down so I can see what he's wearing?
But it's standard now. That is standard. So like, when you go to a funeral now, there is a streaming option for funerals. Because people can't make it. I went through it with my dad. He was he got diagnosed with cancer in 2019. No, beginning of 2020. So, being the fact that I was frontline essential working while he was going through chemo, I couldn't see him. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
right.
So, for wanting to try and not kill the man, like you've got to stay away. And That was a hard lesson from that, because people are so selfish. They're going to do what they want to do
and lie.
You know, come out and cough and hack all over you. And I'm like, but you don't know what people are going home to if they've got newborn babies, if they've got elderly family, immunocompromised family, all that kind of stuff. And that was my biggest concern. And I missed out on a lot of time with him in that last year because I had to work. But what's the option? What's the other option? Yeah. Right.
It's like, in our one store, we still have like Candy built with like PVC pipe. She spray painted it silver. You know, it's like a 4-foot guard, you know, so they can't get up to the counter, right? So they have to stand back. So it gives you like 6 foot. And then she still has the plastic barrier up at the cash register. People bitch. I can't tell you how many. It's usually men. Bitch, why is this still here? Motherfucker, because assholes like you come in and fucking hack up along and you're still too close to me. Like, I got four kids and she's got a 96-year-old mother. I don't give a fuck if it's over. I think it's the best thing ever because I don't want you get close to me. And plus, bitch, you need a goddamn Tic Tac. And the motherfuckers
that come in smell
like cat piss.
I wouldn't, you know, even in 7-Eleven, they still have that up. Like, I would appreciate that. Like, I appreciate that. Like, again, I don't want your germs. You don't want mine. Like, that's an easy way to just, like, instead of me wearing a mask, and where I fucking go.
I think it's just put up the fucking plastic. I think every place should have kept those.
Yeah.
I would just put the mask on again. There's 90% of the people at work are coughing today.
It's doing the rounds again because everyone's just like chilled out, like, oh well, whatever. Because we had our holiday booked for last year, you know, anytime they were saying you can go get another shot, I was like, do it.
Me too. I've already got my fifth vaccine.
Do it, give it to me. And because, you know, my dad was sick, I was like, do it, give it to me. I've got 5 shots worth flowing around this body now. So my phone signal has got no better though.
And I got the flu vaccine.
Wow.
Yeah, I got the flu vaccine as well. I got one in each arm. Oh, God,
I just talked to them. They were like, "Oh, I just went and got my microchip update," and I fucking lost it.
But you know what? I haven't ever gotten it again. I had it once when I'd had one vaccine.
Me too.
And all these people that we know who had one or two vaccines and have had COVID 4-5 times and are long-term ill from it. Like,
how many times have you had a booster?
Me?
I've had five.
Oh.
I've had five, baby doll. That shit ain't getting me.
I'm terrified
growing wings. I'm gonna be like, whoosh, I want my X-Men powers to come in.
But, tomorrow. So, like, when I had my daughter, the next day it was a room full of people, right? In the delivery room because it was 2019. Now, fast forward to 2021 when my son was born, I was only allowed one person in the room with me. Like, and that person had to stay with me, be vaccinated, and couldn't leave. And if they did leave, they couldn't come back. So my husband had to stay with me for 3 days straight while I was in the hospital the entire time. I could only have one guest at a time. That person had to be vaccinated and prove that they were vaccinated. So only my dad was allowed in because my mom was sick. So my mom met or saw my son for the first time through the hospital window because I was on the first floor. I was like, just come up and walk up to the window and I'll just hold him. And like, even that, like, you know, just missing that opportunity of being with the family, like, and not having to wear a mask or worry about a booster shot or worry about getting a COVID vaccine. Like, that ruined the whole experience for me when I had my son. Like, that was awful. I have to say that was just the worst part. It was like, my sister couldn't come in. My nieces couldn't come in. Like, nobody could come in to see my son. And like, it was lonely. It was lonely I was in there for 4 days. Like, it sucked.
I'm sure it did because, you know, that's a hard thing to go through. But I think the people that were outwardly and, you know, unashamedly fighting against rules put in place to keep compromised people safe
were
the problem. You know, I'm going to the hospital and you can't stop me and I'm going to do this and I don't have to wear a mask and da-da. What about we had that huge riot here in Australia and then... 50% of them came down with COVID the next week? Like anti-vax riots, freedom, sovereign citizens. Guess who all got COVID?
I can't tell you. I know two different healthcare workers who got long-term COVID. One just went in for open heart surgery yesterday due to complications from long-term COVID. And another one has permanent thrombosis that they had to put stents in their vein so the blood clot wouldn't cause a stroke because of long-term COVID symptoms, you know?
Wow.
And there are people that have long-term COVID that have lung damage. You know, these are your nurses and your healthcare workers who expose themselves for your greater good, and you motherfuckers won't put on a goddamn mask.
We know there is very famous Vera rants. If you want to go back to the pandemic Vera events,
I have no problem wearing a mask.
I didn't have a problem wearing a mask either. However, like when my nurse would come into the room, you know, obviously me and my husband were wearing the mask in the room. My son was actually ended up in the NICU for a couple of days, so I really didn't even. He wasn't in my room, so it was just me and my husband. And every time the nurse came in, she would take her mask off to talk to us. Every nurse, like, and I didn't even say like, oh, put that back on. Like, you know, I wouldn't. I was never.
You would be within your rights.
Well, okay. But I didn't give a shit. Like, yeah, and she clearly did it. Like, or they didn't. You know, like. A bunch of nurses didn't. I feel like I don't even remember half of them wearing masks, but.
Oh, look, who remembers? It was so long. I just remember a few mask fails that I had. I remember going shopping and trying to get the plastic bags open to put the fruit in it, and you can't.
Yeah.
Or the first time you sneeze with the mask on.
Like, oh,
no. Won't do that again.
Yes. Oh,
won't do that again.
No. Onion bagel that you could smell.
Yep. Maybe a less fragrant lunch might be better.
I don't leave the house very much, so I didn't have to wear the mask very often. But every time I leave the house, right, I usually have my coffee.
Mm. Oh, you tried to drink, didn't you?
Yeah.
And you know what I mean? So everywhere I go, I usually have a coffee mug, and then guess what? Well, bitch, you can't fucking drink it. So then it's like, what are you gonna do? Lift your mask?
Yeah.
So you have to leave the coffee in the car, and then
my favorite.
And then people started getting creative with the little straw hole that was on social media.
Did you see that couple that were out for dinner and cut a mouth hole in their mask so they could eat with their mask on?
Oh my god.
See, these are the times when you wish COVID had an IQ, like,
oh, yeah. The people in the beginning, like when it first happened, and like all the meme things were going around, and people like in the trash bags and like in the fucking like plastic jugs with like fucking scuba gear on it, that shit was amazing.
The pot cover. In the sweatshirt. Oh my god.
Oh, the ones did you see ever see? And I mean, this I saw in real life too, the people wearing tampons, like, or you know, pads, like just fucking.
Oh
delicious.
My god. Like,
what? Just.
I had a dreadful time with the mask. I ended up with really bad mask acne, and my skin erupted into pustules and because it was rubbing on it all the time. So then the mask became a great thing because it hid it, but the mask was causing it. So it was just – it was awful. I'd always had beautiful skin, and now it's just shit, and it's never recovered.
I agree. That would be awful.
I just want to talk about before we finish up. So the big, I watched a couple of TikToks on it, and it seems that, you know, Generation Z feel like they've missed out on rites of passage and, you know, significant events because of the time spent. I struggle with that because there are bigger things to worry about than your first night out on the town and, you know, et cetera, et cetera.
There absolutely are. But
for someone that lost someone during the pandemic and, you know, not being able to be with that person, I could care less whether you missed out on your first day of college. Like, that doesn't worry me. Like, I missed out on significant time. So for them to worry about, like, oh, I couldn't go to the mall, I couldn't do this, that, and the other – that's really trifling stuff.
Well, they were canceling graduations.
I have not heard the youngsters in my life whine about it, but I have observed that they've missed it. My nephew was a freshman at college when the pandemic hit. He wasn't old enough to drink yet, but still there's all that socialization. It's learning to be independent, learning to make phone calls, learning to call your own fucking doctor and schedule your own doctor's appointment because you live on your own. You know, none of that stuff happened because he moved back home and was doing his freshman year of college remotely from his bedroom. You know, you learn to socialize as an adult. You learn to figure out what live music you like. You learn, I mean, there's so much of that little nuance of growing from a teenager to an adult that they didn't get because they were in their bedrooms on their computers taking college classes.
I have to unmute myself. So then I want to ask, do we then just stay victim to that situation? Because we've noticed it too, because especially in the performing arts, dance classes, people won't do this, people won't do that, everything has to be this, that, and the other. Kids are just fucking, like, so sensitive about, like, the smallest thing. Do you let those 3 years of your life then dictate the rest of how your existence is going to be? Mum and dad can't do everything for you all the time. Yeah.
Right.
There are times when you're going to have to schedule your own appointment, speak to a boss, speak to a coworker, speak to somebody like that. You can't get your parents to do everything for you. You can't claim anxiety about everything.
But when it's still not true.
I know people with legitimate anxiety, yeah? I've seen it. I know what it looks like. But people going, I'm anxious. I can't go to school. There didn't used to be an option. Get your ass to school. Get your ass to school. That's
become more like prominent now since the pandemic.
So what do we...
I don't think it's just the pandemic, though. Think about how many school shootings there are now.
I would be anxious in your country. I'm talking about a current affair here in Australia. Their lead story the other night was kids too anxious to go to school.
Oh, right. Dear.
Are you well, what goes down over me? There?
Is there both, oh, like, parents. This is the same see, the, and the first thing that happened in the video, a parent said to their child, are you going to go to school today?
No.
I went, that's the first problem.
Well, you're asking them.
Part of the issue is, right, as a parent, you really can't do anything anymore because if you do, the kid's going to go to school and say, my parent was screaming at me. My parent was yelling at me. My parent slapped me. CPS is going to be at the door. How are you going to force your child to go to school?
I think that there is a difference between
teachers are in the same position.
Yeah.
You can't touch them. If you touch them, CPS is coming.
Yep. There's a reason for everything, and I can claim anguish. I can claim, like, if I say something's affecting my mental health, I don't have to do it. And I feel like there are some, and I'm not, trust me, here it comes. I can smell it. I've said it. It's half out there, so I'm going to say it. For some people, it's an escape button. You're like, I don't have to do it. Mental health, done. See ya. And how is that fair to the people that genuinely struggle? Because I know people that genuinely struggle, and then I see people that aren't struggling at all. And
they want to be part of the movement. They want to belong to the people who are anxious and get the treatment that those people are getting. And I think it starts a lot with the parents because they were so worried about them during COVID as well. It does go back to COVID, protecting the children, making sure they're okay. And it's spilling over and society is jumping onto any little minor thing that people get upset about. Somebody posted a meme on our page the other day, something about, as far as I'm concerned, you're all nutters. Somebody reported that and said, I am part of a mental health movement that's removing these memes that are causing, representing mental health as a funny thing. And I went, but it was funny. And how can I judge what is going to trigger you or the trigger the next person?
Yeah. It's like everyone had too much time to decide what really made. I'm upset by that. And if I say I'm upset by that, I get attention. And then if I get attention, that gives me dopamine and that makes me happy. So it definitely, I think the COVID thing has definitely fostered the trolls. Everyone's got an opinion on everything.
We just went through it.
As we have discovered.
You can't say that because it violates his free speech. But I can say whatever I want.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. And there's the nameless, faceless, you know, whatever profile, I can say whatever I want. I would love to see half these people in person and see who has the chutzpah to actually say the stuff that they say to people to their face. Because it doesn't happen. It's in the rare occasion.
I think people are getting more ballsy in person, too. I mean, if you deal with customers... You see people are...
Because they rip this out and go, I'm filming, right, because I can put it on social media.
Bitch, please do. Please fucking do. Please do. I hope you would, okay? Because yeah. I got cameras too, bitch, because I played a whole motherfucking video and show people how crazy you really are. It's okay. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
So it's kind of brought the crazy to the surface as well. It's just like... But, you know, you spend that much time with yourself... I think you get the self-important. You can't help but feel self-important. Well, I'm going to worry about me and mine. Everyone else can go jump.
We are important.
And they're not learning conflict resolution because they're staying internal. They're not getting the skills that they need to deal with people.
There's a coping mechanism of not getting your way, figuring out how to function when you don't get your
disappointment.
Way.
Disappointment, yes.
Yeah. How to make an
appointment. How to negotiate, mediate.
You know, that personal responsibility is gone. It's not learned yet. I'm not going to say it's gone. I do think there's hope, but we got to get our young people to a place where they learn that personal responsibility that none of them learned in their bedroom.
So when are you going to come over and work with Tyler?
That's all right. Uncle Stevie's coming for a while, remember?
Not my
kid. Then you know the notes to sing.
Vera!
Vera, she's a
not
bad
my kids, not my problem.
Not my kids, not my... I just have to keep them alive.
I
That's...
will talk to Tyler, but I can't guarantee he'll listen to me.
Oh, he won't listen to nobody.
He won't. Yeah. He won't. And you just got to shock that kid. I will never forget the look on his face when he was like,
oh, that's your truck there.
Yeah, that's
he
right.
likes to tell you what to do, but he don't like being told what to do.
You know, like, I hate you. I don't like you that much either. He was like, now go to your room. He's like.
Because he doesn't ever get Candy's like, you need to stop trying to, not reason with them, but she's like, I'm always trying to explain things to them and talk about their feelings.
Yeah, because you're trying, I'm trying to
get them to talk about,
because I said so.
Oh, I've tried that, and that's
trying to be the good cop. You're trying to be a good cop. It's hard when you're by yourself because you can't be a good cop and bad cop.
Oh, no. And then, you know what happens, though? And then if I do yell, oh, hell.
Everyone cries.
No, Tyler screams back at me. He goes, you yelled at me. And I'm like, yes, I did, because you've been yelling at me all day long, and I have finally had enough. And I'm like, and would you like to watch the camera footage?
You should. You should just, to be a fly in the wall in my house in the morning, you would be amazed that my daughter even loves me anymore. Like, the way that we scream at each other. And she's 4 fucking years old, and I already want to pull my fucking hair out with this kid. You have no idea. Oh, like, see, this morning alone, just because of the things that she wants to carry in her hand while she's in the fucking car seat on the way to my mother's. I want to hold my bows. No, I want to hold my unicorn. No, I want to hold my folder. No, I want to hold this. So I said, 2 things, you get 2 fucking things, and that's it. All right, my bows and my blankie. So I give her the bows and the blankie. Then I close the door. I'm running late. I'm on the way there. She's crying in the back. I go, why are you crying? I wanted my unicorn. I go, the unicorn's in your backpack. You asked for 2 things to hold, your bow and your blankie. I want my unicorn. I said, you can't have fucking unicorn! Fucking crazy! Like, it was just, like, I said, I'm going fucking Santa tonight. I said, that fucking elf is not coming. I said, because you know what he's going to do? All he's going to do is report bad news to Santa because you're a bad girl. Every fucking day, you would argue with me. I go, oh, I was so fucking pissed. This unicorn, you know, every, you have no idea. Every
you just brought up a very good point. You brought up a very good point. You brought up a very good point. How the fuck did you navigate Santa during COVID?
What do you mean?
I hide the boxes.
What, you gonna let Santa come in your house without a mask on? There's some strange. That.
Strange. I saw a lot of people leaving, like Santa, a mask. I saw a lot of people do that. Hand sanitizer by the chimney, you know, like by the fireplace.
That's
cute. Yeah,
there's
nobody there. So the room's empty when Santa arrives. It's fine.
Yeah.
He's self sanitizing.
He sanitizes his leaves. That was my favorite thing to do. We went through so much Glen 20 during COVID. I was like, when people would walk out, I'd follow them out going, we sold out of wipes. It was good times. Yeah. But look,
making your own.
I think the most important thing to realize is that we all got through it, folks. We're here on the other end. We might be on the dip of another one, but you know what? I think the world as we know it is probably never going to go back to that. That is a once in a lifetime, a generation, as we've seen in the past, and we've lived through it. And hopefully, we can eventually learn more from it about how we've learned. You know, some people don't want to go into the office, family matters, all that kind of thing. There's the bad side to it that we've gotten a bit selfish and a bit self-centered. But hopefully, in time, as we get distance, we can take good lessons from the pandemic and go, you know what? Don't be a victim to your situation is the biggest thing that I got from it. The time may be wasted, but it's not gone. So while you have time, you should use it. Go on holidays. Talk to the people that you love. Spend time with people that you know, make you feel good. Don't feel obligated to be with people just because they're your family. Go out and search for things that make you happy, because you never know, in 2 weeks' time, we could all be back stuck in the same situation. So take the ball and run with it. is my message for the folks at home. But thank you for gathering with us today, everyone. I think that's been a rather healthy moment for us all, for our mental health. I don't feel anxious about it anymore. And you have
made I do. You brought up all these feelings, Steve.
Ah, Christina, you have feelings.
I think you don't
have feelings on camera. She has feelings on camera. They have feelings later. Well, Anne, thank you for joining us as our special guest and sharing your toilet paper and water and all that kind of stuff. This has been the Uncensored Radio Crew, and we will see you again maybe one more time before around the round table this year. But it's been real. Keep it real. Have some real talk, and you know, stock up on shit roll, I guess.